You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
This is Brunsta from Artificery, and you are listening to I Rebel, a Star Wars Destiny podcast.
Forgery of imperial documents, possession of stolen property, aggravated assault, resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15, reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
I rebel.
Welcome everyone to I Rebel. I am your host, Jedi Geek Girl. Join me for this very special spoiler-filled episode. You might have heard her from the Knights of Ren Galactic Senate podcast, or might have seen her as a part of promoting the Artificery brand, part of the Artificery team, Brenna.
Hey everybody.
How are you doing, Brenna?
I'm doing really well. I'm battling a bit of a cold, so I apologize if that comes through. But other than that, things are looking great.
Well, hopefully by the time this podcast goes out, you'll be doing a lot better. I know that it really sucks being sick, but you know, it could always be work, especially at this time of the year.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not cursing anybody for a little bit of a cough. Definitely came right side out on that one.
The thing about coughs is that they tend to stick around a lot longer than other symptoms. So while other symptoms might be a little bit more problematic, you're not having them for like a couple weeks like you would a cough.
Exactly.
Let's dive in. For those who may not know you or might not have heard you on the other podcasts, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my gamer tag is Brunsta. You can kind of see me making posts and things like that on the Artificery page and whatnot. But I am Pearl Yeti, if you don't know who he is. He's the kind of head of Artificery. I'm his sister, and he pulled me into this crazy world back in January, but I didn't really get super involved until PAX West back in September. I manage a lot of the social media and trying to kind of build up our following. We just launched a Patreon, so I'm trying to help promote that and just kind of use my skill set from my own experiences with social media to promote the Artificery name. If you haven't checked us out, please do. We do a lot of content creation as well as tournament facilitation online, which is a really great way to grow the community because, you know, a lot of people don't have time to get out to their local game stores and whatnot. So if you're ever looking for a game, definitely check us out online or in our Discord channel. As far as, you know, other things that I do, I try and help out with Knights of Ren on the Galactic Senate, as well as at events doing live Facebook videos, trying to make sure that we get you the most coverage possible. Coming fresh off of PAX Unplugged, it was crazy. It was super fun. And there was just a lot to discuss, trying to make sure that, you know, I give you the best media attention possible for each event. So social media and media as a whole is kind of my side and my contribution to what I do with Artificery and Star Wars Destiny as a whole.
I have to say that what you guys are doing is really good. What you guys do for the digital / tabletop simulator community is also really good. I know that a lot of people don't get out, like you said, to their local game store to play, and it's nice to play online to have that option. It cannot be understated how important that community is, especially to the Destiny community.
Absolutely. You know, I think that everyone involved in Destiny right now is just trying to grow the community and really wants to see this game continue to grow and succeed. And I think that, you know, like you said, a large part of that is that online community. If you haven't checked it out, absolutely do. It'll give you more opportunities to play, especially with all of the Galactic qualifiers going on, and just kind of practice your deck.
I know a lot of people are tuning into this episode and they want us to get to the meat of the focus of this podcast, and we are going to do that. This episode will be all about spoilers. Usually we talk about more than one thing, but we are just going to focus on spoilers. Now, I do know that at the time of this recording, you guys do have spoilers that have not been revealed, but I Rebel has its own spoilers that we will be dropping at the time of the release of this podcast.
Really exciting stuff. Everyone's kind of been dropping their spoilers lately, so I'm really excited to get into this.
Without further ado, the first spoiler from I Rebel is a yellow neutral upgrade ability card called Bartering. At one cost, It has a one focus side, a one discard side, a resource, a modified resource, a special, and a blank. Again, those sides are a focus, a discard, a resource, a modified resource, a special, and a blank. The special reads, gain one resource. You may force each player to draw one card. What do you think of this card?
I think that this is a great one-cost card. It gives you a lot of ability at one cost. For a lot of people, drawing more cards has been a way to kind of like speed up the game. And with this special, it gives you that option to kind of pick things up a little bit. At one cost, I think that this card is pretty decent card to put into your deck.
I actually love this card. I know that Suki will also love this card because for a one drop, you are getting a die that is really good. You're getting a die that has a focus, two resource size, a discard, and a special that not only gives you a resource, but can force your opponent to draw a card. So if you're running a mill deck with a splash of yellow or a heavy yellow, this card is perfect because you are speeding up your resource gain and you're also forcing your opponent to draw a card. I think that this is one of those cards that most people will not think much of, but as someone who used to play Thrawn Unkar and likes a little bit of the control, I think this card has a lot of value.
Absolutely, and I honestly love control decks, so I can absolutely see myself using this very regularly.
Obviously, at the time of the release of this episode, people will be able to see the card or have seen the card, but the person on the card is actually Dr. Aphra. You're familiar with Dr. Aphra?
I am, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see new character additions like that. I feel like a lot of times regurgitating popular characters from, you know, what's in canon right now. So it's fun to see new things being pulled into this.
Moving on to the next I Rebel spoiler is a blue hero card that costs one. It has a picture of Attack of the Clones Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it is called Investigate. Its effect is look at the top five cards of your deck. Add one of them to your hand and place the rest of them on top of your deck in any order of your choice.
Okay, so for those of you who've listened before, I play Hearthstone, if you've heard me talk about any other things. And this really reminds me of a card from Hearthstone. And I love it because you can set up and determine what you are going to be pulling next in what order. So you have a bit of foresight here and you can kind of set yourself up for success. And based on like the current gameplay, you can determine what you are going to do as far as a reaction to like where your opponent stands right now and where you stand. And like I said, that kind of foresight into the game is invaluable. And at one cost, you know, I think that you're drawing a card, you're setting yourself up for the next four cards in any order that you want. I think it's a really valuable card.
One of the most powerful effects in CCG is the tutoring effect, the ability to search your deck for a card that you need at any given time. Obviously, this card is not a fully tutoring card, it's more of a soft tutoring card, but it allows you to build your consistency of your strategy and your deck. At one cost, I think it is a little bit too much since lightsaber pull is a zero cost. I do think that it is fair, but I do not know if it will see a lot of play considering that we play with 30 cards in a deck. It is possible that in a trilogy format, this card will see a lot more play than it will in standard. I do think that this card is really solid. I do think it's really good, but you always have to ask yourself in a 30 card deck, is this card worth it?
I definitely see this card seeing some play in certain decks. I know that there are a lot of people, like you said, like lightsaber pull, who will kind of utilize that to the effect of like knowing what you have like remaining in your deck and things like that. So there's a definite advantage of being able to see, you know, where things are headed. I don't think that it's overcosted at one, but I think that the one cost on it will limit its play. So I don't think it's overcosted. I just think that it'll kind of limit the usage in standard.
I agree. I do not think it's overcosted. I just think that it's one of those almost middle cards. Like sometimes you get a card that costs like three, but it has an effect that maybe could do on a two, but at two it would be too good. So it's more like a 2.5. So to be on the safe side, you bump it up instead of bumping it down. That's what I think. I think this is more like a 0.5, 0.75 cost maybe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree.
The last card that we have is actually a character card. It is Nuke Gunray, Separatist Viceroy. Obviously, he is a red villain card. He has 8 health. His die size are 1 indirect, 1 focus, 2 disrupt, 1 resource, 1 modified resource, blank. Again, those sides are indirect, focus, 2 disrupt, resource, modified resource, blank. His cost is 8 single die, 11 elite. His effect is each opponent gains 1 fewer resource during the upkeep phase to a minimum of 1, unless that opponent discards the top 2 cards of their deck.
I like the ability on this. The character's ability effect is, that's dirty. You have to essentially, it's almost like reminiscent of Abandon All Hope, where you're having to decide between resources and cards and what to you is more valuable. So now your opponent is having to decide, what's more valuable to me? Do I want to discard 2 cards? Which, if the game is running really closely, can completely screw you over if it's going to time. Or do I want to sacrifice resources? I like that a lot.
What I like about this card is at 8 health, he will die relatively quickly. If you start out with him, you're almost baiting your opponent to kill this character. Otherwise, if they do not, they're going to start the next round with 1 less resource or 2 less cards in their deck, which can be a bad thing because they might discard some valuable things that they need from their deck.
Yeah. No, you're definitely creating a target here to pull some heat off of a character that would essentially be dealing out your damage. So this character is kind of that support character that can kind of create a lot of chaos for your opponent to take the heat off of your character that's dealing out the damage on them. So it's causing them to focus attention elsewhere, which will keep you rolling out damage on your opponent longer and causing them to sacrifice valuable, you know, assets in the meantime before they can kill him.
To me, when I look at him, it doesn't really stick out right away how to play this card. However, when I look at him, I think control. So perhaps we can see a 3 character control deck instead of the usual 2 control deck.
Yeah, and I think that you're seeing a lot in Legacies, you're seeing these like lower cost characters coming out that are really kind of mixing things up and making it a little dirty. And I feel like this is another one of those cards where you're like, okay, new possibilities. The meta is just going to get even crazier from here. I'm really excited to see what happens with this. Again, like I said, I love control decks. I could definitely see myself building a deck kind of based on utilizing the best parts of this character.
What about a Gunray Elite Jabba Night Sister deck? Rainbow Control.
I can absolutely see that. I can absolutely see, I mean, Night Sister for sure. And I think that at least with the way things are heading, you're looking at like these really big, like multiple character. I mean, like we now have the option for like a 6 wide character. So it's just like, where are you going to go from here? Where are you going to pull things off? And I think that that's a really fun option.
So moving on to the rest of the spoilers, before we get into them themselves, what are some of your impressions of what we have seen so far?
I'm really excited. I think that there's a lot of diversity out there. And there's a lot of kind of almost chaos being created with us, you know, with what we've seen so far. And I think that it can be a little overwhelming when you first, you know, things were turned on their side with the errata. And then you're releasing a new set and you've got this new die symbol coming out with indirect damage. So I think just like a lot has happened really, really quickly. But with the call for diversity in the meta, I think that the cards that we have seen so far are giving us even more diversity than we had before. And I think that with the errata, there was a lot of new possibility and new diversity. And I think it's just getting better from here. I know that there's still complaints out there that, oh, these, you know, like a Po-Rey, that's like the deck right now, or Qui-Gon Kanan. But there are so many possibilities. You don't have to just net deck something and think that this is the only thing that's going to be successful. Like, people have been running some crazy things, and I think it's just going to get crazier from here. And I'm really looking forward to that.
I would have to agree with that. It seems like with the other sets, when the spoilers were revealed, there was always stuff to be excited about, but multiple strategies really didn't stand out. With this set, it seems like there are tons of new approaches you can take to the game that, compared to the other sets, weren't prevalent in their spoilers. Now, that may or may not be the case once the set gets here, but looking at the set and the cards that we are getting via these spoilers, you're like, okay, I can go this direction, or I can go that direction, or this direction. It's not like I have to go this direction because this direction is good, but I can't go this direction even though there's an option, but it's not as good. It's a bit of a cluster. It can be overwhelming, like you said, but it is so exciting, and I already have so many decks in mind that I would like to try. I'm not going to be able to try all of them because it's time consuming, and with almost 700 cards after this set is released, it's going to be really difficult. But for the game, it is very exciting and very healthy.
I think so as well. And honestly, right now, I think, you know, a lot of attention is being brought on to, like, new players and new player experience and making sure that, like, you know, facilitate and feel comfortable. And I think that there's no better time for a new player to get involved than right now, because there's so many options to you. There's so many possibilities. And you're going to be able to, right from the start, kind of get creative, which before, you know, we had, you know, you're running Thrawn on card and you're going up against that as a new player, I feel like a lot of people get discouraged. You know, they sit there and they're like, well, I'm coming in this and, like, what are my only options? Right now, coming into it, new player experience, you have endless options and you're going to see a whole bunch of different things. And I can only urge people to really get creative and try new things. Don't just go look up, you know, what are the most successful decks and whatnot. Like, do your research, but have some fun and try and mix it up, and you'd be surprised at what happens and what can be successful.
And not only that, but with Trilogy coming, it is so perfect for newer players. I like the idea of Trilogy. I'm actually looking forward to it because I like having decks for multiple formats. I know a lot of people would prefer sticking to Standard, but I find that shifting your focus to a new format to a different card pool is refreshing, and it keeps the game fresh and exciting instead of stale in this one format with this almost overwhelming card pool. That is another thing. A little side tour. What do you think about Trilogy itself? Are you excited for the format? Is this a format that you see yourself playing a lot of, or would you rather just stick to Standard?
I actually do see myself playing in Trilogy. Any card game, there's going to be, like, you know, there's going to be parallels drawn. So I see myself, like, popping into, and this kind of leads into Infinite as well, but I pop into the Wild setting all the time on Hearthstone. I love having a lot of options, and I love playing with a lot of things that kind of open it up. And when you get new sets out and you get things rotating through, you see a lot of people kind of doing the same thing. And I can't express how much I love diversity. So I think that I will see myself playing that, because I also really enjoy non-competitive play. I like playing the game for the experience. And I think that just with Galactic Qualifiers going on right now, people's mentality at the new rules there and new gameplay with Standard, Trilogy, and Infinite just kind of was a little bit salty. I'll say that. Like, I felt like people were a little taken aback by it. But for me, thinking about outside of competitive play, I'm really excited for that.
Welcome to the online community.
Right?
But getting back to the spoilers, we have gotten, I haven't counted them up yet, but I think about 30 cards, maybe. What is your favorite card revealed this past week, and why?
I would say, so it's not like it's my absolute favorite, but I'll say this is the one I've spent the most time talking about because I think it's so interesting, because it's gonna wreck, like, so many people. I was talking about it yesterday, actually, is Jar Jar Binks.
Oh my god, that is my favorite card too, because, okay, I'm gonna give a little insight in myself. I like Jar Jar Binks. I like him because he tilts people. He gets people so passionately upset and he annoys them. And to me, that just makes it so funny. I mean, there are aspects to the Jar Jar Binks character that I like. I think he's actually the most relatable person in Star Wars. But we're not talking about Star Wars itself. When you pull Jar Jar Binks and it tilts your opponent because they don't like the character, it's just something about that makes it so enjoyable. And for him to have a card that is not only interesting, but could, hypothetically, we do not know yet, see competitive play, something about that just makes me so giddy and excited.
Oh, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I absolutely think this is going to see competitive play. Like you said, kind of like stirring the pot. And I can absolutely see somebody like throwing this in and just getting crazy with it. It's one of those things that I saw it and I'm reading it and I'm mulling it over and I'm like, this is dirty.
It also brings to the table a mini mind game because you're like, okay, do I activate the Jar Jar Binks? Do I not? Do I activate my character? Do I not? You know, it's like a little game of, I don't want to say chess, but checkers with your opponent. It's like, what do I want to do with Jar Jar Binks? And how do I play so Jar Jar Binks don't backfire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And that's the thing is, this can cause a lot of damage against your opponent, but it can also really mess you over. It is, like you said, that kind of back and forth. Okay, what do I do from here? And I think you're going to see the strategy here is like when to claim and when not to claim and how to set that up so that you, as the person playing Jar Jar, have the upper hand and can kind of use him to kind of run amok on your opponent rather than on yourself.
Do you have any ideas yourself of how you might play the card?
Mostly the way that I've talked about it the most is just like running it in a mill deck. That's the way it seems. It's a low cost card for like those of you who haven't like looked at it. You know, it's one dice, seven, it's at least nine. Like you can fit this in pretty much anywhere. The jokes that I was running is like, you can now get a six wide on this. Essentially can just be a mess, but be a really fun mess. I'm a fan of kind of the options here because it's one indirect damage, it's one disrupt, one discard, one shield, and one resource, and one blank. There's a whole lot of ones here, but there's a lot of like possibilities with this. And I love indirect damage. I'm a personal huge fan of it. A lot of people think it's going to slow the game down. I personally think it might speed it up. And I think that this is one of the cards that has the ability to really slow it down or really speed up the game.
He has such a good deal for his delete cost, but do you think he would be better being run at his single die cost due to his effect or his elite cost?
That's a good question. I think that personally, I would do the elite cost just because it's still low. The single cost gives you more options, but there's a huge advantage to having that many positive die sides and having two of those die out there. Again, it's going to be something to experiment with and mess around with, but right now I'm thinking elite is the way to go.
What I also like about this card is when your opponent activates it, they are using up their option and they are giving you dice in your pool, which is perfect for Yellow Hero because most of your removal is through your dice. So if you're playing against Jar Jar Binks and you activate the Jar Jar Binks because you don't want it to disrupt your side of the field, congratulations. You just gave your opponent access to Double Cross. You just gave them access to Lost Cat and Mouse. You just gave them access to Negotiate and other hero removal cards.
Exactly. I think right now, with the meta the way it is, like that's the way that people have been going and the way that they've been heading out there a lot right now. And so I think that, again, this is an option to kind of pair with something to keep that control.
Another one of my favorite cards is the one spoiled by Rebel Gray. And that would be the gray one-cost villain card Outnumbered, which you can only play if your opponent has fewer characters in play than you. You can remove one of that opponent's die. This card is so good in villain 3-character-wide, 4-character-wide decks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of like cards that are contingent on like what your opponent does. They're reactive cards rather than like trying to have like foresight into the game. They're reactive and they're using their, it's using your opponent against themselves.
What about you? What would be your number 2 card that you are most excited for?
This one came out a while ago, but I'm excited to see the Heirloom Lightsaber. This card, like if you haven't taken a look at it yet, it's really pretty. It's really cool. And I think that it has a lot of possibility. I think you're going to see this one being used a lot.
It's a very solid card. And for those who may have forgotten, it is a 3-cost blue neutral upgrade weapon that has a die side of 1 melee, 2 melee, 3 melee, shield, resource, blank, with the effect that this upgrade has the redeploy keyword while it is attached to a blue character. A very solid, very good card that will undoubtedly see play However, with the special training that we are seeing with this set, we have to wonder if it will see the same degree of play. Obviously, it will still see play. It is a really, really, really solid card. But I think a lot of people are going to lean into that special chaining. And this card doesn't have a special on it.
So I'm all for specials and whatnot. I think that this is just super solid. None of your damage costs any resources. So you can get that 3 melee damage out there at no cost. And then worse sides, you're getting a shield or a resource. Like, I just see this card being extremely valuable, especially the possibilities where, say, you know, people are like, oh, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, a 3-cost weapon. Well, it's neutral. So I love playing Palpatine. I love getting mixed damage out there, and I love doing things with him. I can absolutely see myself discarding this and then using my Rise again to get it out there at no cost.
Speaking of Palpatine, do you see yourself playing the new Palpatine?
No, I definitely do. And this is something that I've talked about a lot, but I'm actually really excited about the new Palpatine. I think that it's a solid card, and I'm excited to experiment with it. Palpatine, like ePalpatine, has been my favorite deck just because, again, like circling back to like new players, things like that, one character is extremely easy to manage if you are new to the game and things like that, because your moving parts are now just around one character and keeping them alive. And you're not having to think a lot about like pairings and things like that. For me, it was a really good deck to start with. It's a really powerful deck, so you feel successful and things like that. You can build up your confidence in the gameplay. But once you get there, it's really fun to experiment with. And I think that moving into another side to the new character, I'm excited. And I'm excited to see what I can do with it and to see what the community does with it. I have a soft spot for villain decks. It's like a cold day in hell if you see me play a hero's deck, and that's like nothing to do with usually like gameplay and things like that. It's just the way it happens. And so I definitely see myself building another villain deck around the new Darth Sidious.
So before we move on to deck ideas, let's pick another card that was spoiled that we like. I'm going to mention the E11 Blaster. How have we gotten so far into Destiny and not have such a classic Star Wars weapon?
I think, honestly, though, like, there's a lot of, like, classic things in Star Wars that, like, I think about, and I'm like, where is that, you know, and it's, they're popping up later, and I think the reason is Star Wars Destiny let out based around The Force Awakens, right? Like, those were, like, our starting characters, and it got its boost from that, and so I think that the reason you're seeing this come out later is because we're now, like, digging deeper into, you know, the Star Wars, like, known universe and things like that, and we're coming up with new ideas, whereas before, a lot of it was based around essentially the newer movies, you know, this new trilogy that is being released. And so I think now we're kind of digging back into like Star Wars roots for a lot of things. I think that, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi is like a good example of that. I think it really had more to do with like timing and less to do with intentionality behind it.
I agree 100%. I just was laughing at the fact that you see this card and you're like, wow, I did not know that we did not already have this due to its iconic status. I mean, when people think of a blaster in Star Wars, at least most of the hardcore Star Wars fans, and I use that word really loosely, they think of the E11 blaster. The E11 blaster card is actually pretty decent, and you can tell that they are setting themselves up for a rotation in the next block. For those who may not have the card in front of them or do not know, it is a red upgrade weapon, 2-cost neutral. It has a range side, 2 modified range side, 2 indirect, shield, resource, and a blank. And it has redeploy. Some sort of deck that relies on upgrades that have redeploy may love this weapon.
I think that that's a valuable like statement. Redeploy is extremely prevalent. Cards like this, I think that you're going to have to wait for things to kind of circle through and mill through before you see it a lot. And I think that, again, it's more about people being willing to experiment rather than going like ultra competitive straight from the start, right? And saying, well, this is what the meta is and this works. And I think that people kind of have a broken mentality about that, because we thought that going into the you know, new rules and regulations and the errata that Sabine Ezra was going to be kind of the deck. And for me, at least at PAX, that was the easiest deck for me to tear down. And I found myself struggling with other unexpected decks. And so people are going to go into this with a certain mentality and they're going to want to say, you know, this is what it is. But you have to kind of say nothing at this point can be expected. There are going to be things that we think work and they're going to wind up being broken.
Expect the unexpected, right?
Exactly.
Wrapping up the spoiler cards, what would be your last spoiler card that we have gotten this past week that you are excited for?
One of the ones that I think is so interesting is Mend. I was looking at this card again, kind of at the same time I was looking at Jar Jar, and I was thinking to myself, you know, heroes are kind of getting more and more interesting. This card kind of reminds me of almost the reverse, like, order of Indomitable. Like, Indomitable, you're throwing up shields to kind of prevent additional damage. This one, you're able to heal off that damage. And you can heal it off of not just a character, but you can remove it from a support. Which, when you're looking at supports that are limited, especially at, like, say, you know, you're going to hit like 3 damage and that support is useless, you're able to say, okay, I'm at 2 damage. I'm going to remove all the damage off that support. And now you're able to resolve that support, you know, another 2-3 times. When you're looking at supports that at first might have seemed kind of unreasonably high cost, especially with indirect damage, people are saying you're not able to control the damage where it's going. Well, now if you're throwing out a ton of indirect damage and you're removing this damage off of the support and your opponent isn't just like throwing damage onto it, this now gives you a ton of opportunity to resolve a lot of damage with your supports.
It goes pretty well with Bubble Shield, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now moving on to the decks that we can create with what we have. We don't have too much, but we have enough for ideas. Are there any decks that you are looking at?
I'm excited about kind of looking at the possibilities with Jar Jar, like I said before, and building up a 5-wide deck or something like that. But what I'm really excited about, and I haven't like thought a lot about it because I have this mixed bag feeling over this, but we have some really cool opportunities with Anakin and him being a neutral character. You know, this conflicted apprentice card kind of excites me, and it's going to be understated. It's going to be a card not to expect, and I'm excited to build something around that. I haven't given a lot of thought to what I would pair him with yet, but I would say I'm excited about this kind of neutral blue character. He makes me excited just because I feel like there is a lot that I could do with him. Not sure what I'm doing with him yet. Have you given any thought to what you could do with Anakin?
Not really, because when I look at him, I thought about putting him with Qui-Gon, but I think that Qui-Gon's other options are actually better for what I want to do. I think Anakin is a good option for a more heavy melee approach to the Qui-Gon deck. I don't know if that's really the answer, but Kanan is better. Yoda is better for special chaining. Secure is better. So when I look at him at that side of things, I don't see him as a valuable option. But when I think heal, I focus on Qui-Gon. I'm pretty sure I might be wrong on that. But for the heal version, I don't really think much. For the villain version, I think about pairing him with Kylo too. You get 4 die, 30 points, and solid blue, which is important. It's important to have those 4 dice. But I also have to wonder if other characters aren't worth it more. Sienna Rey, you still get 4 dice. But you also get red and blue. You could have Grievous. Yes, you have 3 dice, but you have a stronger character than Anakin. I think Anakin will see a lot of play. I think you'll see him splash to those characters that don't really have a viable partner right now at that 17, 16 point cost. But you almost have to wonder if there aren't better options for what you're going to try to do.
What I'm excited about is because, you know, this character is neutral, there's a lot of different opportunities for what you can do with him. My initial feelings were kind of like shared with yours that new Kylo, pairing up with him, that's a lot of melee damage. But what's fun about it is, one, running off of Kylo's ability, you're going to hit a lot of damage and then discard a card from your hand And then that's another 2 damage off of Anakin. So I think that just off of character ability, character effect, you're getting so much initial damage just from activating your characters. And that, to me, speeds up the game a lot.
When I think about that, his special, you are discarding a card from your hand to do 2 damage, which isn't that bad. 1 card for 2 damage is actually pretty solid. But when you think about that card as a resource, you're discarding a card that is a resource that you could be using for control, building up your board, or other things. It makes me a little uneasy. That doesn't mean I think the special is bad. I think it's pretty solid. But when I think about discarding a resource card for an effect, I'm like, well, I don't know. It's like, if I want to discard a card, I would like to discard it to reroll, get more utility out of it. Again, it's pretty solid discarding it for 2 damage, but you also have to wonder the resource management side of it. You know what I'm saying?
I think that, like, for me, so a lot of times you're discarding to reroll to get damage, right? Sometimes that's not the case, but most of the time that's the case, right? You're hoping you're going to show some damage and be able to make some movements against your opponent. And I think that essentially this is a discard to reroll without that hope, without that luck aspect to it. It's a known, here's your 2 damage. And I think that that gives you a certain amount of control.
Do you think that you will pair him with the new Palpatine? I know that you said that you were maybe looking at the new Palpatine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that I definitely see more utility out of him as far as villain goes. That being said, like, I think he has great utility to, you know, go heroes as well, but I do see him with more villain utility just for me. I think that there is that potential with him. I just see the new Kylo and getting out that initial damage and then say you do roll the special. Like, that's just a lot of control in a deck that usually I'm looking at as being not so much of a control deck and more of a, you know, heavy damage deck. With the new Palpatine, like Darth Sidious as well, you're going to be compromising. Essentially, you know, one or the other is going to have to be that single die. You're not going to get them both out at the elite cost. That you're definitely taking Anakin at his single die cost because, you know, Palpatine's card is just stronger. But if you're going with, you know, say you're going with like Kylo, you're not having to make those compromises.
So looking at the new Palpatine card, since Palpatine is your deck, do you have any partners in mind for Dark Sidious, or have you not really given it much thought?
I've been kind of keeping my options open. I've been thinking about things, but I think that almost a neutral character is kind of the way to go. Again, with the way that things are heading, and I can tell you right now, like going up against new Kylo, probably one of the most annoying things that you come across in a monocolored deck is somebody sitting across from you and saying blue and throwing a ton of damage at you every time. So I think that a neutral character could be a really valuable partner to the new Palpatine. I'm not opposed to Anakin because Anakin at his single cost and, you know, new Palpatine at his elite cost brings you to that perfect 30. I just think that, you know, I want to get as much bang for my buck, but I do think that it could be a viable partner, especially since the new Palpatine is showing a whole lot of different damage sides. You've got range, melee, and indirect damage. And so you do have the chance to like piggyback a whole bunch of melee damage off of a Palpatine Anakin combination because of that damage option. So essentially you can resolve that 4 melee damage onto somebody extremely quickly without them, you know, having a lot of opportunity to break that damage up.
One of the decks that I have been looking at is a deck featuring Reg. And after these spoilers that were revealed this week, I think Saul Wedge could be a viable option. I do not know if it will be competitive, but I think Elite Saul Guerrera, single die Reg with profitable connection could actually be a pretty solid option, and here's why. The deck starts out with 3 resources, and with 3 resources, you can get a turn 1 resistance bomber or runaway boombas. I think both of those are good cards to get out your first turn because they have indirect sides, and your character also have indirect sides. Not only do you have that synchronicity of indirect sides, but they have high numbers, and with high numbers, that gets you access to planned explosion. Even though indirect will be sporadic, like you don't know where it's going, you can remove those dice to play Planet Explosion to focus those high die numbers on one character. Not only that, but there was a red card spoiled called Lock and Loaded that is a one resource red neutral card that you spot a red character to turn up to two of your dice to showing indirect damage. I do not know how good it will be, if at all competitive. I just think that it is a very viable option and one that potentially could be good. I know that starting out with three dice is a little, like, you can be nervous running a deck with three dice, but starting out with three resources and getting that three cost card into play early in the game cannot be underestimated.
I absolutely agree, and I think that a lot of the hesitation with a three-cost upgrade comes from those lack of resources, right? So now you're starting it out with it, you're getting those extra resources without, you know, the fear of, you know, I'm not going to be able to use them for something else. I'm not going to be able to get them out quick enough. And so that's where you're going to get that kind of fear is going to dissipate. And I think that that'll give that more value to those three-cost resources or three-cost upgrades.
Like I said, I really like the idea of the deck having the indirect damage synchronicity and starting out with three resources and having truce as well as logistics and other resource dice in your deck and cards. It's just, to me, theorizing about it, I think it will be a very viable option. Again, I do not know if it will be competitive, but I think it's one that you do not want to think of, especially with Lock and Loaded. I mean, if you get a turn one resistance bomber out, by turn two, you should be able to hit for a heck of a lot of damage, especially if you're lock and loading it and you're building up your resources. Again, I do not know how viable it will be, but with Saul being your elite character, you can draw some of the fire from your opponent because they'll target down Saul because Saul is your elite character. And by the time it gets to Wedge, you have a board full of support that sync with him with indirect things. You also have partnership. So you can activate a character and a support together, as well as resolve them if you have another resource. So I just think that there's something there. And focusing your opponent into targeting Saul, then dropping that second chance on Saul to frustrate them. Again, I don't know if there's anything there, but I look at it and I'm like, there has to be something there. There has to be a reason why you can't run double elite.
Yeah, no, and I absolutely agree. And there's this, you know, kind of question of like the control of power. But again, I think people are going to be looking at indirect damage as this thing that slows down the game. I think it's just going to speed it up. I think that my experience with it, it's you're like, oh, I have to now think about where I'm going to be dealing this damage to. And you think it's going to be slow because you can't control where it's going. But you're forcing your opponent to show you what they care about and what their deck is built around. And I really like it.
Unfortunately, we are unable to get to all the spoilers and all the ideas. But we hope that we were able to get to some of them and enough of them to help stimulate your thought. It is now time to wrap things up. Thank you so much for coming on and talking some Destiny with me. It was so much fun.
Absolutely, no. I had a blast and I really appreciate you having me.
Before we let you go, if people would like to contact you, where can they find you?
You guys can absolutely contact me through Artificery. You can contact me on Discord and you can reach out to us via Facebook. We're kind of everywhere, so lots of opportunities. And if you see me out in the field, please don't hesitate to come up and chat with me.
That concludes this episode of I Rebel. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time. This has been I Rebel, a Star Wars Destiny podcast. I have been your host, Jedi Geek Girl. If you would like to contact me, please send me an email at irebeldestiny@gmail.com. And as always, may the Force be with you. iRebel is an independent podcast, not associated with Lucasfilm, Disney, Fantasy Flight Games, or any other organization. All copyrights for Star Wars Destiny, and all other properties belong to the proper copyright holders.